flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Understand if you didn't play the whole game, or you know, kind of have you talked at all about that yet?
Yeah, you know, you're preparing like I'm the starter. You know, I think I'm going to be the starter, so I'm looking forward to being out there, and I think I'm ready to go out there and win and compete. And in a close game, you want to be out there and you get experiences in these close games that you don't can't replicate in practice. You can't get those reps anywhere else. So look forward to like I said, get one more chance to these guys and end off on a good note.
How's Drake May yesterday? Says he's preparing like he's the starter.
Hasn't been told he's not starting.
Who knows? That doesn't even matter. He could be told he is and he won't, or he could be told that he isn't and he will.
Based on Ramondre Stevenson, yeah. Antonio Gibson from last weekend, you're right.
Tune in to find out.
What you've been told really doesn't matter. It's hour two, Jones and Keefe. A big triumphant return.
That's right.
And ushering in of 2025 here. We appreciate all the phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll continue to get to you. If you're waiting patiently, that's also your text number. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, on a Bruins Thursday. Coming up here about a half an hour from now. We'll get to some Celtics talk later in the show as well. But obviously, Patriots front burner issue. We've talked about Jerod Mayo and his job security. The hot seat is absolutely burning up. We've talked about their approach in this game and whether or not they should win it or lose it. Tied into that is, of course, Drake May. Does he play? Does he not play? Drake May says he's preparing to play. He's expecting to start. But he also popped up on the injury list yesterday with an odd injury. Was it a finger or a hand? I forget how they listed it.
Yeah.
But either way, I don't think a lot of the beat writers are buying that. Could they be laying the foundation for Drake May to not be rested, quote unquote,
yeah,
but to come up with a phantom injury and keep him off the field? I think it would be the right approach, by the way.
Sure.
And I think they're trying to kind of split the difference there, yep, by not playing him but coming up with an excuse so they're not tanking, because Elliot Wolf on the record said we're not going to tank.
No, great. Good call.
Yeah.
No, right hand. Limited participant yesterday with a right hand injury for Drake May. So, yeah, Jerod Mayo just can't get out of his own way, and he was at it once again when he's talking about it. He's like, well, Drake's our starter. It's like, we know he's your starter.
Can I give you an update, actually? Literally in the last minute, okay. Alex Van Pelt just hit the podium.
Oh.
Drake May will be starting for sure.
Lame.
Alex Van Pelt on Drake May. He'll be starting the game for sure. Multiple beat Reese, Perry, bunch of the beat writers had it. He just said it.
You could play him a series, and then you could sit him down.
Well, that's a good point.
You could do that. You could preseason game
as long as Josh Allen's in there, he's out there.
Yeah, Josh is out, Drake,
you're
out.
Yeah, you're out.
Match him up that way. Yeah, that seems to me like a mistake. Now, don't get me wrong. you've lost plenty of games with Drake May. This doesn't mean you're going to win the game fall in the draft. Like, you can have your best effort against the twos of Buffalo.
You can
and
lose
still
to
lose.
Buffalo's twos. 100%.
Easily.
Yes.
So this isn't a be-all end-all. I think this is dumb. We've taken calls since week one about them tanking. Mm-hmm. Like, week one being like, they should tank. Mm-hmm. And you and I were both like, no, they really shouldn't do that yet. But talk to me December, January, or talk to me when there's even a couple game scenario. But now when it's down to one game, literally one game, to go from the number one pick to who knows what with the tiebreakers, right? Fourth, I think, is as low as they can go.
Yes, because Detroit won on Monday. Yeah, I don't understand all the math.
It's all strength of schedule and
but
stuff.
Because Detroit won, the lowest they can pick is four. Or, you know what I mean? The farthest they can slide is to four.
Like, it's so dumb to me. It's not even really up for discussion, because if you see in any given year what it would take to move up from four to one, or what you would get if you move down from one to four,
it's significant.
Yeah. And so
probably,
but if you go out there and win one on Sunday, and then, like, what does that do? What does that accomplish? I hate the culture. No, that's a year of tanking, which teams don't do outside of the Colts for Andrew Luck. Teams don't really tank for a full year. The Commanders tanked last year at the trade deadline when they got rid of their best pass rushers, and they ended up getting the number two pick, and I think they're happy with it.
Yes.
And now they're in the playoffs, for God's sakes. So, no,
yeah, what good did the tanking and the culture do there?
Yeah. We've joked about must-lose games before. There's been must-lose games for other teams. You know, those years when the Celtics were fighting at the lottery, there were must-lose games. This is the most must-lose game you can possibly have.
Yeah, there's
this is throw the
no
ball in the stands.
None.
This is, like, tackle yourself on offense. This is get out of the way on defense. This is the most cut and dry, do not win the game.
Van Pelt added on, by the way. So, again, Van Pelt is talking right now. Drake May will be starting the game, quote-unquote, for sure, is what Alex Van Pelt says.
Jeez.
Should we take that to the bank, number one?
Van Pelt
also said they're not going to do design runs with him, and then the next week they're out there doing design runs.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo said they were going to start Antonio Gibson, and they started Ramondre
he
Stevenson.
He didn't know Marcus Jones played offense, so I wouldn't really take anything to the bank. Mayo could change his Mayo might have told Van Pelt he's starting. So then Van Pelt goes up there. He's like, he's starting. And then Mayo could talk to him after lunch and be like, he's not.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, what am I going to do?
I also would allow for this. Van Pelt getting fired either way, it sounds like. This could be insubordination.
True.
This could just
he's
be.
Like, he should start.
He should start.
Van Pelt's trying to win the game because he's like, why do I want the number one pick? I'm not even going to work with him. I'm not going to be here.
I will not be here. I want to win the game.
Yeah.
He did follow up. And maybe there's more after this, but his follow-up, he was asked if May will play the entirety of the game. He said, we're playing the game to win the game. Yes, that's the intent.
It's a mistake.
Then I'm reading Phil Perry here, some editorializing. He says he did say they'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So perhaps some wiggle room for less than a full complement of snaps.
That'd
but again,
be good.
He said he is starting the game for sure.
Joe Milton.
Well,
let's see Joe Milton.
That was a fun topic that
Bazooka
came up.
Joe Milton did take non-scout team reps at practice yesterday.
Let's get it.
No brainer.
Bazooka
if it's
Joe.
Not May, it's Bazooka Joe.
Oh, my God.
No
if I get to see Brissett one more time, I would have climbed to the tallest building.
You see this other story that came up while we were out that Jacoby Brissett is apparently still a captain, but he no longer has the C on his jersey.
Yeah, that was so strange. And they asked Mayo about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. They're like, so was that just a mistake? Sure. Like, wait. So Brissett had that thing a couple weeks ago, remember, where he's like,
oh,
man,
I would have ripped the seat. He's a bad teammate. I've said this about him almost the entire year.
I think they did, but they don't want to talk about it.
Jacoby Brissett is a bad not only is he not ideal to usher in a young quarterback, he is a bad teammate. I would have taken the C away from him.
You know, as a quick aside, the only guy who might actually be a good backup quarterback teammate? Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see him the other day hyping up Jaden Daniels before So before Jaden Daniels won the game, whatever their last game was, they're like during like a timeout, and like Marcus Mariota went over there, like calmed him down and like told him what to do basically, and like got him back out there, and he like threw game winning touchdown. Mariota seems like the one guy that everybody wants every veteran back quarterback to like.
What? Although didn't Mariota go AWOL a couple of years ago when he was benched by the Falcons? Didn't he just like leave the team?
Maybe.
Did he?
I
only remember.
Maybe he learned from that. Maybe he went for like a nature walk, and now he came back, and he's like, my head. Maybe he did. I don't remember that.
I just remember it from that Netflix quarterback show.
Oh, he just took a walk?
I think he just legit left in the middle of the year.
All right.
But maybe he's learned.
He might have been dealing with stuff we don't know about.
Yeah, it's true, Keith.
You know?
That's true. You never know what people are dealing with. That is true. A few more items here from Van Pelt. This is what Nick was just saying. Van Pelt indicated that Joe Milton took starter snaps because Drake May was limited yesterday. So it will not be Brissett.
Good.
If May doesn't go or can't go.
Also, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Alex Van Pelt, when we're talking about this, like, running, not running, QB sneak, not QB sneak, didn't he say keeping Drake May safe is the most important goal?
Something
I forget
like
how
that.
We framed it, but even you and I were like, well, isn't, like, playing well and winning more important? Like, this was a month ago. And if protecting him is the most important thing, and you have one game to go, and it greatly benefits your franchise to lose the game, and he just got hurt last game.
Yeah.
And now you're going to play him? Like, how does that make him healthier?
I wouldn't play him, but if you're going to play him, give him a quarter, maybe. I don't even understand the risk in that, but go ahead, or I'm sorry, I don't agree with the risk that would put him out there and get another head injury, blow out his ACL, some sort of catastrophic injury.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid to play him and put him in bubble wrap all year, but with one game to go, whereas you said it greatly benefits you to lose, I'd like to see a lot of Joe Milton out
there. Is there any benefit to just giving him as many like starter reps as possible, or just, you know, you can't, in the offseason, you can't duplicate an NFL season. So is there any point to, I know it's only 1 week, but it's like, hey, you're going to go through this week of practice.
Yeah.
And then you're even going to show up on game day, go through your game day routine,
yeah,
maybe play like a little bit. Like, there's probably better than being like, you're done for the year, like shutting them down. Like, you can do that, but I don't want him playing four quarters.
Yeah, fine. So if you feel like there is benefit in getting him more reps and prepping for a team and going through the whole thing, give him a quarter.
Yeah.
Give him a couple series. Treat it, as you said, like a preseason game. Hell, you can even keep his starting streak intact like Josh Allen wants to do. But, yeah, I do not want him out there if the game hangs in the balance at the end.
It doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of hanging in the balance, Van Pelt was also asked about his job security.
Oh, boy.
He said, quote, "This is the business. We all signed up for it. The thing I can hang my hat on is this team has played hard."
Okay.
No, they haven't. They have not. Last week, I think, was an indication that they are no longer playing. Two of their last three. The Buffalo game in the middle, they actually played hard for a half.
Yeah.
The Arizona game and this Chargers game were embarrassing. Real quick, those were not guys playing.
Yeah, he's gone. Real quick, Phil Perry has spoke briefly about the growth he's made and where he could get better.
Oh, Van Pelt?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
When it comes to improvements, he says he starts with bad calls he's had, and he highlights the fumbled pitch last week. Quote, "That was a tough one. Put those guys in a tough spot." That play was insane. So even the guy, even was it Chris Rose?
Yeah.
Ripped him. He's like,
what is this?
Maybe, like, hang on to that one. Or maybe, like, he had some line where he just, like, torched him.
That was, I already forgot. That was Ross Tucker, too, right?
Oh, maybe it was Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker, who is going to be on WEI Afternoons. He has not held back on the Patriots. I've actually enjoyed that.
Yep.
Some of the games he's had. You know, it takes being the Patriots and getting some of these games.
Yeah.
But some of the games he's had, he's ripped into the Pats in these
games. They were crushing that play call.
So Van Pelt is continuing to talk. If everything goes according to plan, we not have confirmation on this. If everything goes according to plan, next up in our coordinator series.
Do you think we get him?
Because on Friday they talked to Jeremy Springer, not Jaden Springer.
Both
Jeremy Springer
would have been good
on Friday. Yep. Either one would have been a good get.
Yeah.
Next up in the pecking order in our coordinator series is Alex Van Pelt tomorrow. No confirmation from the team we're getting him, but we should get him.
You think we'd get him? Well, yeah, his press conference today. Yeah, we'll get him.
I mean, we should. We should.
I know, but we should have a couple times before we didn't.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, we
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But I don't know what benefit he's going to get from it, but if he does, we'll put him in the hot seat tomorrow. 617-779-7937. Mark is in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. So. Good morning. Coming soon to a theater near you would be the third installment of Dumb and Dumber, but only it's going to be Dumb, Dumber, and Dumbest, starring Mayo, Van Pelt, and Wolf. Okay? For 5 weeks, guys, they kept on telling us, no, we're not going to start May because our offensive line pretty much sucks, and we don't want him to get hurt. Well, he's almost been concussed twice, and now you're saying he has a hurt hand, and now you want to play him in a game that makes no difference at all to anybody. Okay, except for the first-round pick, which they should lose this game purposely just for the hell of it.
Okay, so that is a good point. You just brought up Van Pelt saying the main goal is to protect him. This is another good point. They didn't throw him out there because they didn't want to get him killed to start the year, and now they're going to throw him out there at the end of the year?
Finish strong.
For a meaningless game?
With a hand and head injury?
Makes no sense. Did you think they should have put him back in the game on Saturday? I mean, sorry, not put him back in the game, but left him out there as long as they did. They should have put him back in, but left him out there as long as they did?
No. So I'm with you. I probably would have, if he got cleared, I probably would have tossed him back in there. But then, like, I don't know, at what deficit do you say enough's enough? And, you know,
before they took him out, I can tell you that.
Yeah, he probably got an extra couple of series than he probably needed to have. The game was a little lopsided.
But if nothing else, it's inconsistent.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course it is.
And stay tuned for Dumb and Dumber 3 in theaters soon.
Yeah.
Let's go to Justin in North Carolina. Hello, Justin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. How are you?
Good.
Good. Just wanted to touch on the Travis Henry point. Hunter Henry, I get them mixed up all the time. Hunter, thank you.
Yeah, Travis Henry, a lot of kids.
Oh, yeah.
So many kids.
Good back.
Good back for a while.
Solid back.
Buffalo, Tennessee. Yep. Good random football player of the day.
Yep. Well, we have missed on drafts and in receiver positions just as long as practically I've been alive, and I am an entitled, spoiled Boston sports fan that's seen a championship practically every year. But moving forward, let's just get let's just get May his Jamar Chase here. Let's not mess with it. Stick at one, pick the kid, and move forward. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut off the
How about that?
Who is the number one? It's Travis Hunter? Is he the number one receiver to you in the draft?
Yeah, to me he is. I would take him one, and I know everyone's so against it. I would try playing both ways, not 100% of the snaps and things like that, but it's one of the reasons why he's great. He's a great defensive player. He's a great wide receiver. I would try to have him do both. But anyway, just for the sake of Drake May, I would team him up with him. But he does bring up an interesting point. Let's say you really want him. Let's say hypothetically Elliott Wolf and the Patriots really want him, and you get a big offer, but you got to move down to like six. So now you went from having the number one pick to now getting maybe your third favorite prospect or something like that. Like, I wonder, is there any point to just staying on the board and taking him?
Well, I don't like Hunter as much as you, but okay. If they do, yes.
Or let's say...
if they like Hunter, they should not be...
Who's your favorite player in the draft? I know that we got months to do this, but just for the sake of argument.
In a vacuum, I would probably take Shador. That doesn't fit for the Patriots.
Okay.
So, like, who...
Favorite non-quarterback.
Who would I take? It probably would be Hunter.
Okay.
I don't even love him. I don't think it's a great draft.
All right.
I don't love the tackles. Hunter is not my favorite receiver in the draft, but I think there's some benefit to a guy who plays corner there. I can kind of talk myself into Abdul Carter, the edge rusher at Penn State.
But would you be
maybe
steamed,
you're getting a Micah Parsons?
Would you be steamed if they took a Travis Hunter or the best left tackle like Will Campbell?
If
or
they took
whatever.
Him where at
one, would you be pissed about it?
Yeah, I think I would rather have him trade down. I would rather. I don't love any of those prospects.
Yeah.
Now look. Maybe you draft Banks and he's the next Orlando Pace. Maybe you draft Travis Hunter and he's, you know, the Shohei Ohtani of football.
Yeah.
So, like, there is risk in moving down if you really like the player.
Yeah.
I get that. And if they love Travis Hunter, they shouldn't move to six. You're not going to get him at six.
Yeah.
So
these people, these Travis Hunter people, we have the guy in the text line saying Travis Hunter is mid.
Yep.
You get people in the Twitch chat saying he's not a number one anything.
Well, so
he's pretty damn good.
I disagree with that. I don't think he's a number one receiver. But I think he's a safe pick because you know he's an NFL corner.
Yeah.
And maybe you get the benefit of him playing wide receiver as well. Maybe. I'm not as sold on him as a receiver.
Okay.
I'm not. But that doesn't mean I'm right.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked N'Keal Harry, so what do I know? by the way, he mentioned he's a spoiled
a
Patriots fan, the caller.
Yeah.
You know who agrees with him?
Who's that?
Dietrich Wise, who we also might talk to tomorrow.
Oh, this bothers me.
So Gerard Mayo, there are fire Mayo chants and boos in the game on Saturday. He says, with all respect to Patriot Nation, this is a friend of the show, Dietrich Wise.
I know.
They're a little spoiled. We don't appreciate the boos. We don't appreciate the outburst against Mayo. If you're a fan, be a fan with us through thick and thin.
So, okay. This really bothers me. And like, I like Dietrich Wise. Friend of the show, as you said.
Yes, 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 yes.
This drives me nuts because if you only cheer, I don't think you're a fan.
No, you're a Cardinals fan.
You're a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Seriously. Loser fan.
I think, you got to be with us the whole time. That is the booing. Those people are there in the seats. They're spending their money, their time to go see you play, and you're horrible. Your team stinks. You're the worst team in the NFL. If you can't boo that, then you can't boo anything. Now, there's a whole different thing when you're talking about, like, you know, crossing the line and saying certain things. But fire Mayo and booing, that's all we're talking about here. That's all that happened. That is so on board. It's not even funny. That makes you a good fan base, in my opinion. People always talk about, like, Boston, New York, Philly. You can hate them. You can love them, whatever. But, like, those fans care. They give a rat's ass. If they didn't care, so I guess Dietrich Wise and other players would just prefer – What, an empty stadium? Mm-hmm. An empty, quiet stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a good fan base
there. If you want no one chanting Fire Mayo and you want no one booing.
Play better.
Yeah, well, then but then don't let anybody in.
Right.
Because if you're letting in the fans who are paying their money, they're going to let you know you
suck. Oh, we're spoiled. They also haven't won a playoff game since 2018. How long do we have to wait for the team to be good?
Right.
Like, as a fan, the team sucked out loud a year ago. They fired the head coach. They suck even worse this year. So we just, sit on our hands? That really bothers me, because, like, as a fan, if you can't boo, you're expected to only enjoy the product at all times. That's insane.
It is. Tomorrow should be a good Patriots Friday. Could be. Dietrich Wise and Alex Van Pelt. Wise does not have a contract beyond this year.
No.
Van Pelt looks like he's gone after the year.
Like, dude, calling out the fans is stupid.
Bill, you're spoiled.
It's a stupid thing to say.
You're spoiled is what you are, and you shouldn't boo. That's according to Dietrich Wise, not us.
No.
617.
Boo away.
779-7937. Josh is in Dallas. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, nice. Glad y'all took my call.
Yep.
I was with the trade back. I heard you say you don't really like Travis Hunter, but that's the best player in the draft. And on top of that, we're not getting rid of Mayo. We're not going to get rid of Alex Van Pelt or none of the guys in the front office. So I wouldn't trade back at all, because we're not doing anything with the picks. They talk about Bill Belichick and what he has done. But we get to these picks and we're not doing nothing with them, and we get a haul of picks. That's why we lost off on Lad McConnell.
Okay, so this I think is actually a fair point. You brought this up before the show, Keith. And I don't agree with not firing anybody.
Yeah, he says they're all coming back. I can't imagine.
Okay,
that.
But let's say that's the case. Let's say he's right. They're all back. Mayo, Wolf, Van Pelt, Covington. Is that a reason to stay at one? Because do you trust Elliot Wolf to move back and, like, manipulate the draft board? Or do you just trust him to sit there and say, let's drill down on all these top five prospects and this is the guy I like the most? Elliot Wolf's margin for error.
Yeah.
Is less drafting at one than moving down to like six and trying to figure it out.
Man, maybe in a different draft. Maybe if it was a draft where, trying to think, some of the
clear cut number one.
Yeah, not only a clear cut number one, but a clear cut non quarterback number one.
Yeah.
If you were in one of those drafts, like, not that Jadeveon Clowney ended up being a guy, but like somebody like that, like, or Myles Garrett was the number one overall pick, right? Like,
yep,
somebody like that. Or even one of these Hosses. If you want to talk about like, Orlando Pace draft, and he's there, then, like, yeah, maybe that's what you do. It's the best player, and it's the need. That was sort of like last year's draft. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Now, they've all played differently this year, but that was best player meeting team need for all those teams. I know the Bears, you know, had made whatever. But I don't know. I think the safer thing, which obviously Robert and Jonathan would sign off on this, is to trade down and get multiple throws at it. Because if you take one guy and that guy stinks, then, like, you might have to nuke the whole thing if you didn't before.
But as you said, the trade down is exactly what they did with McConkey. Or it was the call. Who said that?
Maybe
the caller
said
that.
Yeah.
The idea of trading down, we'll get more draft assets, and we know who we want when we move down. Yeah. That has not worked with Elliot Wolf yet.
But trading 34 versus trading one is
very different.
Massively
very,
different.
Very, very different. Yeah. I agree. The one reason I would advocate to stay at one, and I want them to trade down, is do you trust Elliot Wolf with pick one or do you trust him with pick six? The real answer is neither.
Yeah.
But which one do you trust him with more? I'd trust him more with the first pick.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Belongs to the Caps. Send away Protas. Alexei Protas pulls on.
They get the draw. They have their assignments laid out for them. Protas gives the Caps a victory 3-1 today.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. A lot of Patriots talk on a Bruins Thursday. We'll get back to the Pats. Gerard Mayo, his job security. Drake May, should he play on Sunday? And, of course, what are you doing with the number one pick? Should the Patriots get the number one pick? 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch and your text line. But as mentioned, it's also a Bruins Thursday. We're joined by Andrew Raycroft, as we are every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. What's going on, Razor?
Not much, gang. Happy New Year. Hopefully everyone's holiday was awesome.
Happy,
yes, you as well.
American and Canadian New Year to you as well. Bruins didn't ring things in so hot. They played very well under Joe Sacco since moving on from Jim Montgomery. They have lost 2 of 3 going into the new year. They get the Rangers tonight. They sit number 3 in the Atlantic Division. They are just 4 points out of first place, although they have Tampa in the rearview mirror with a bunch of games in hand. What exactly are the Bruins? What is this team? What are they capable of this year now that they've kind of leveled out to a degree under Sacco?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. They've leveled out and they've gotten back to the identity of defense first and playing with structure through the neutral zone in their defensive zone, which has allowed them to create some more offense. We're halfway through the season. There's still a long way to go. I think this team is still fairly... It needs the power play needs to get better. The special teams continues to need to get better. The PK has been better, but it still has nights where it's given up 3 goals, which is wild. So still a ways to go for this group, but I think the pieces are in place and there's probably a few pieces out with that throughout the league that can allow this group to go on a run in a few months.
What do you think the biggest issue is with the power play? I'm sure if it was an easy fix, they'd have already done it. But when you look at the personnel, I mean, I feel like it should be a lot more productive than it is.
I agree. And it's kind of the same as it was last year when it was good, or the year before. Of course, the year before with Bergeron, Krejci, it's a little bit different. We probably thought this drop off was coming last season and it didn't. For me, it's the lack of shot threat. David, of course, is a shot threat. But beyond that, there hasn't been enough of it, whether it's over on the right side with Brad Marchand or the bumper that they've tried to use with Lindholm. And then, of course, up top, McAvoy just hasn't had enough shot threat. Teams aren't scared of it enough. I think also the other thing, too, is Hampus Lindholm's been out of the lineup now for 6 weeks, and we haven't seen him play for Joe Sacco as head coach. And I think his ability to kind of come in and out of that first power play unit and certainly beyond the second unit helped the power play, because he does have a great wrister. His ability to get through traffic is a threat, and he hasn't been able to obviously play.
What have you thought of Coyle in the top six and on the wing?
I think he's a little bit freed up. I think he doesn't have to be quite as responsible defensively. He's not starting in his own zone like he does as a third line center almost exclusively. So I think it's freed him up a little bit. I think we saw the benefits of that both in before the holiday break and then right after it, where that Lindholm line, the Marchand line, they scored in 3 of the 4 games and looked really good together with some chemistry. So I think Coyle up on the wing, it just allows him to shoot the puck and not distribute as much and be a little bit more north-south on the wing.
Now, you mentioned about the halfway point for the season. Which guy to you has played better than expected? And then on the flip side of that, which guy to you has not played as well as expected through, 39, 40 games?
Well, the easy one's Mark Kastelic. I think he's been the most consistent forward for the Boston Bruins since the first day of training camp and first preseason game. He's been in the mix. He's done everything he's necessary. He's produced a little bit of offense on top of that. I would probably put Brazo with him just a little bit. You know, Brazo is looking, you know, he's on pace to score 20 goals this season. This is his first, you know, I know he was really good at the end of last year and in the playoffs, but this is his first go around in the AHL. He's a rookie, and I think he's shown really well. Unfortunately, the guys that haven't, Trent Frederick's right at the top of the list, right? Coming in as an unrestricted free agent year, you scoring 20 goals last year, really thought he had taken the next step to be a consistent 20-goal guy and a 25-goal guy, get on the power play more and more special teams, and it just has not gone Freddie's way in the first half, and he looks shook about it a little bit.
Okay, I want to get to Swayman in a minute, too, because I think he would be on the underachievers list. But on Frederick specifically, you think that's in his head to a degree, the contract, the whole situation? Do you think that's part of the issue there?
Well, I think that I can't imagine it not being. I mean, anytime you're in that, you know, you're in your contract year. And when it doesn't go well, it compounds. And so now not only is he thinking about his contract, but he's just trying to figure out his game and wondering where, when, and why he can't get in the mix as much as he is or did last season, I should say. So I think that has the contract certainly has something to do with it, but there's a lot of guys that have great years in their contract year as well. So I think it's a combination of just not playing great, but also having some external stuff.
Feels like Swayman turning around at least a little bit. I mean, if you look at sort of month by month, he's coming off his best month. Goals allowed, 2.58, and the wins are there. Now, some of that is the opponent, but 7-2 in his last, nine games.
Razor, do you agree? Do you agree he's been?
I guess I didn't really ask. I didn't really put a.
Do you agree he's
rounding
into
the end
form?
Of that?
Question mark.
So yes, I certainly do. And
I just stopped talking. That's my fault. Go ahead.
There's numbers that back it up. In the last 13 games, he's given up three or less in 12 of them. The only one is an eight spot. So that's why some of these numbers don't quite look as good as they probably should. He's 7-2-1 in his last 10 games. He's playing really well. What's happened is he's had an 8-goal against game, a 7-goal against game, a 6-goal half a game, and that just crushes your numbers halfway through the season. That's why the Bruins' numbers have been so good over the years for their goaltenders, because those games just never popped up. If they lost, they would lose 3 or 4-1 rather than giving up 5 goals in the third period to Winnipeg and really kind of mail it in. So Jeremy's getting there. I think his game's really solid. I loved his game prior to Christmas against Buffalo. I thought he's moving really well. In Edmonton, he gave up the poor goal, but I thought he moved really well in that game as well. So I think he's in a pretty good spot. Again, 7-2-1 in his last 10. 12 of 13 games, 3 goals and under is those all starting to round into form here for him.
Before I let you go, I heard Milbury talking about this with Greg this morning. Just the idea of the Patriots' approach in this final game of the year as an ex-athlete. Like, how aware are you of guys are being rested? These guys are different than the rest of the team. Like, how much do you pay attention to that? Within a locker room, how much are those dynamics at play with the Patriots and their decision-making with Drake May, for instance, in a meaningless game? Do you put him above the team? Do you save that guy? How does that all play out in a locker room?
If you're on a winning team, you completely understand the resting. That goes without saying. You know how that works. On a losing team like this, I can't – like, the whole idea of resting Drake May, like, the guy, he's got one win in his career. He's been trying to play in the NFL his entire life. He's finally a rookie. Like, the idea of resting him would probably not sit well with veteran guys in the NHL. That narrative is odd to me. Again, he's far from deserved that. I know he's had a pretty good season, but again, he's got one win in his career and, he needs all the reps he can get to continue to get better. So when you're on a losing team, everything bothers you, and certainly a young rookie getting rested as a veteran guy having to go out there and maybe you don't have a contract next year and you're going out there and maybe blowing a knee out, just as like that certainly wouldn't sit well in most pro locker rooms.
You know, we just had another example of the NHL's Winter Classic. What do we have? Wrigley Field, Blues, Blackhawks. Bruins have been involved in a ton of these. Do you have a favorite moment of the Winter Classic, and or do you still like this? Is this still something that you enjoy?
This one didn't go very well this season, and Chicago's really bad, and they're 0-5 now in the history, so they should probably leave those guys out of it from now on. This is bad, and of course I'm as pro NHL on these airwaves as anybody is, but I didn't even know the game was yesterday. I thought it was, or 2 days ago, I thought it was yesterday. It completely missed the mark this season, whether, playing it within 12 other NHL games, having two teams that no one's really interested in. I've enjoyed it. I think it's good, but like most things, and especially in this world and this society, it gets tired, I suppose. So it'll be interesting to see how the NHL goes forward, because between the Winter Classics and the Stadium Series, and there's a lot going on, and it's hopefully not losing too much of its luster.
Well, the first one couldn't have gone better. I still remember I was.
Sid Crosby and the Sabres.
And Ovechkin, right? Wasn't it Ovechkin versus... I thought it was Ovechkin versus Crosby, wasn't
it? I thought it was outdoors in Buffalo. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
It was... Yeah, go ahead. But who was playing in the game?
No, there was... The first outdoor one was Edmonton in Montreal, and it was like minus 50, and it was wild. It was up in Edmonton. It was like, it was crazy. And that was in 04, because it was right when I kind of... But the first Winter Classic, the best Winter Classic, considered the best, where they've done all the documentaries, is Sid in Buffalo. They had the snow piling up.
Yeah, it was snowing.
They go to a shootout and they had to clear the ice like every 5 minutes because of the snow. It was so they've had a lot of great ones, like the Detroit and Toronto had 100,000 people in the Big House in Michigan. We know the ones at Fenway Park. We forget about the one that was at Gillette. That was my favorite because I played the alumni game the day before, and that ended up being a lot more entertaining than the actual real game on Sunday. So again, they've had some really cool, and it's been amazing for the NHL. It's just, this year they lost the mark, and whenever you start losing the mark on these things, you wonder if it's run its course or you have to kind of, maybe we spread this out over a couple of years.
Okay. He's Andrew Raycroft. Joins us every week here on a Bruins Thursday. You can check him out on Nesson and on Twitter at Andrew Raycroft. Razor, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Love it, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Andrew Raycroft joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Fun fact.
Yes.
The sideline reporter on the radio broadcast of the Winter Classic at Fenway Park, that would be Adam Jones.
Wow. How about that?
I wouldn't say I did a good job on that broadcast.
I'm sure those guys loved going down to you for your intel. Sure, they were thrilled.
Probably a programming mistake in retrospect. But a young...
Did you interview guys?
Adam Jones. Yeah, I want to say...
Who'd you get?
Because that was also
Andrew
when
Ference.
I want to say we talked. Sturm got the winner, right? Wasn't it Sturm? I should know.
Might have been.
I think we talked to him.
Wait, the first one at Fenway? Was there two at Fenway?
The first one at Fenway
when they beat
was
the Flyers. Marco
Sturm in overtime.
Yeah,
2010.
Yeah,
you were between the pipes, or not between the benches?
Yeah,
you were like Darren Pang
roaming the field. I did one hit from inside the scoreboard.
Yeah,
I'm sure Beers and Ghosh were stoked about that. Here's what it looks like inside the scoreboard.
I would have loved to have seen Beers' face when they're like, we're going to go to Adam Jones, who's down ringside.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the greatest programming decision.
Hey, but listen, pretty good stuff. Yeah, the Bruins, I was going through some of these. The Bruins have been in like half of them, it feels
true.
Like.
So the game was on New Year's Eve? Is that what Razor just said? I assume it was yesterday. I didn't watch it, but I assume it was yesterday.
They literally screwed it up. They put it in the middle of a 13-game slate on New Year's Eve.
Why?
And there was a game.
Your whole
thing
is New Year's Day. That's the whole thing.
There was a solo game yesterday that wasn't the Winter Classic. It was like the Devils or something.
It's the NHL.
Classic NHL.
No, they should say it's just going to be New Year's Day. Pick one game, do it at a cool event, and try to have two really good teams.
That's it.
Just do that every single year.
That's the formula.
Some are going to be better than others, but that's what you do. Football is now taken every day, so it doesn't really matter. But basketball is synonymous with Christmas. This is your day. You are New Year's Day.
That's your thing.
You mean New Year's Eve against all of our other games? No. Do one game on New Year's Day in like a cool stadium.
I didn't even know that till Razor just. I assumed it was yesterday, and I just missed it.
No.
Okay, wow, didn't even know that. Meanwhile, Razor says it wouldn't go over well in a locker room to rest Drake May. Maybe that's why the Patriots seem like they're trying to split the difference.
Right.
Maybe he'll start but not finish. Joe Milton will finish the game, kind of like a preseason game.
Right.
We'll take your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. And what's the plan at number one? There's a good plan out there that I want to get to. We'll do it next.
And you also have to deeply and thoroughly investigate or, figure out how much you like Shedeur Sanders and or Cam Ward. And if you feel like this year's QB1 that you can pick, you can decide who it is, you like more than last year's QB3, who you have, then you must shop Drake May. And if as an added bonus, because I know Wilds thinks Drake May is awesome, if the Titans agree with you, who have the number two pick, and the Titans are like, listen, we would take Shedeur, but if you guys take him, we like Drake May more than Cam Ward. As an added bonus, you have a chance to truly revamp the New England Patriots by going Shedeur Sanders 1, Travis Hunter 2, Deion Sanders head coach, and say you turned the worst college program around in 2 years. Have a shot at the worst pro program. That has to be something you investigate.
It does make you crazy, Nick Wright. It does.
What a coup that would be if you could somehow pull off all those maneuvers. You might finish fourth in the Big 12.
You might get blown up by BYU.
Yeah, if your goal is to lose the Alamo Bowl by 100 points to BYU and finish in fourth place in the Big 12, then you got to do it.
Let me tell you, you have to do it. I like Nick Wright because no one else is saying this. No one else is saying this.
That's true.
Get Shedeur, get Travis Hunter, get Deion, and really
get all the
restart
guys.
It with the Patriots.
I love how he's like dead serious. He's doing a serious voice. He's like, and let's say Tennessee likes, they might like Drake May more than Cam Ward. I'm like, would they?
Oh, would they really?
They might.
Wow.
They just might.
So here's the thing. I wouldn't do any of that. Okay.
No.
And it is crazy to suggest most of that. Here's the one thing I do agree with him on. They should do their homework on these quarterbacks.
Well, you have the first pick.
This is what I'm saying.
And
there might be a lot of people who say, well, what's the point? I would dig in deep on these quarterbacks and just see, and that's part of the exercise, just see and compare and contrast with Drake May, if for nothing else, just to really take a good, hard, critical look at Drake May. I prefer May to all those guys.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But I would do that, and they should go through that process. Now, that doesn't mean you pull the trigger and make the move.
Yep.
It is wild to do all of those things he laid out. But they should take a good, hard, critical look at Drake May and compare him to these QBs.
Yeah,
they should
in that spot for a reason. Now, these are two examples where the quarterbacks weren't nearly as good as Drake May. But, the old Josh Rosen for a year, then you got Kyler Murray. Or Justin Fields for a couple years, then you got Caleb Williams. Now, who knows if any of those guys are going to end up being any good. But, yeah, you have the first pick. But, I mean, that's sort of a stretch. And I think if you're the Patriots and you're actually doing your job, you don't ignore those guys. Like, you have to scout them all. Like, Elliott Wolf hopefully at least talks to those guys a little bit. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, we're pretty satisfied with Drake May.
Yeah.
And we want this guy, but you never know.
I don't go in looking to replace Drake May, but I want to take a good, hard, critical look because, again, we're talking about a quarterback who is 2-9, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
But one of those games, Jacoby Brissett, he's won one game, to Razor's point. And Razor talked
about... Oh, they can lose just as easily with him as without him.
But Razor talked about this. It's not going to go over well in the locker room if the Patriots just say, you're the franchise, take the game off.
Yeah.
Now, I would do that, but I don't have to worry about the locker room dynamics. And look, half the guys in the locker room probably aren't going to be back anyway, so what do I really care about them?
Well, that is the tricky thing.
But you got to be careful of putting Drake May up on a pedestal too soon, where now you're giving him games off and you're like, none of these... We're not even going to look at and scout these other quarterbacks because... Drake May is that guy. He has one win.
The most important thing for me, Patriots fans, is Drake May and the potential number one pick. But how important is any of that stuff to the other guys on the team, especially the number one pick?
Yeah.
Drake May is a teammate. I'm sure they like Drake May and whatever else. And they practice together, they play together, all that crap. The number one pick, those guys don't give a rat's ass about. And even some of the coaches that think they're going to get blown out, what do you think they care about the number one pick? So they're all trying to win the game on Sunday, but that is going to be the worst thing for the franchise.
No, it's true. I do like Deion. Deion, Shedeur, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Good to lose to BYU, as Nick said.
I was going
to
say, you can get the Rock and Kevin Hart on the sideline while you get smoked by the Bills every week.
It doesn't. I mean, I like Deion more than I think just about anybody.
Yeah.
I like the job he's done at Colorado, but
yeah, he's done a nice job.
You're not exactly in the college football playoff.
But they lost to BYU by quite a bit in the Alamo Bowl. So I'm not ready to go just yet.
Bold. It's a bold take. 617-779-7937. All your bold takes there on the phone lines. The idea of moving the number one pick, I'm in favor of. I'm not in favor of moving it for another quarterback, but they should do their homework. We'll get back to Jerod Mayo and his job security. Is this his final game? That's next.